everybody. Welcome back to the Next Gen edition of This. I'm your host, Shauna Griffiths. And today I have a really special guest who I had the joy of working with, actually I had the joy of working for, when I was her, I led the agency relationship when she was previously working at Harley Davidson. And so today I will just introduce here, Hannah Altenberg. So thank you so much for joining us.
I'm so happy to be here. It's awesome.
Yeah, it's so great. I mean, so Hannah and I worked together. We can't even remember the number of years ago it was, but
It's got to be at least 3 years ago.
It's got to be at least 3 years. Yeah. It was definitely pre-COVID. And I will say, Hannah, you absolutely impressed me from the start. And I'll get into this a little bit later, but you know, so we were working with in brand partnerships related to Harley Davidson's e-vehicles that were being launched. One of which was an e-bike to come. And Hannah was really new in her career and she just jumped in, I swear. And your boss was amazing, Mike Lowney. Tough but fair, and we'll get to that too. but again, it was like anything he threw at you, anything that we threw at you, you just dug in and figured it out. So it's been an absolute joy for me to watch your career unfold. And so when I was, I knew right away that I wanted you on this Next Gen edition of Real Talk with a Real Leader, because you are an up and coming real leader.
Oh, well, thank you. That is so nice. All of that. You're being a little too nice to me, but
No, we work together in the trenches. So it is very true. But before we get into your evolution of your career and your story, give us a snapshot of where you are right now. You're lead marketing specialist for Serial One, which powered by Harley Davidson. So give our audience a snapshot of what that is and what your role is.
Sure. So Serial One, powered by Harley Davidson, is a premium e-bike company and brand. So we make pedal assist electric bicycles. There's no throttle on our bikes. It's all pedal assist. So you have to pedal for that electric assistance to kick in. And right now we just offer a line of city bikes. So primarily used for, you know, recreational or commuting use on roads. So as lead marketing specialist, we're a really small team. We're a startup. We just launched the company in end of October of 2020. So
okay.
Really super new still. I came on right away and was one of the first 10 in the company. And now we've grown to about 27, I think, is our total right now.
Okay.
And then I serve on the marketing team. There's three of us on the marketing team right now too. So I really like do a lot of everything when it comes. And an amazing year. And I'm learning a lot every day.
Awesome.
We don't know what the day holds.
I think it's so great though, especially at this point in your career, to be able to have your hands on so many things.
Oh, yeah.
You know, because I always talk about it as like tools in your toolbox that you're building that is just going to help you to catapult as you continue.
Yeah, for sure. No, it's been really interesting. I mean, I out of nowhere, like had to all of a sudden be a social media expert and an email marketing expert and a PR expert. And, you know, there's sort of a lot of pressure to make all that happen. And so I've just been learning as we go pretty much, but it's an awesome experience. I also deal with a ton of social media comments, which is always fun.
Oh my gosh. But I think you and I were talking about this a little bit earlier, like your ability to just jump in and do and figure things out. That's such a great quality, I think, of leadership. And you know, I've talked about this before. I think leadership comes at any stage in your career, you know? And so I think being able and that real talk aspect of like, I'm trying to figure it out. And someone like Mike was so great as a client for me, but also as a leader for you, I saw, because he would just openly talk, like nobody was perfect. We were all figuring out together.
Oh yeah. And I don't know if you actually know this either, but when we were working together on partnerships, Mike wasn't even actually my boss. Like
we were
on the same team, but I had a different boss. And then Mike was also a director on the team too. And so at one point they just needed support. And so I kind of got tagged to help Mike too. And so I was so, so lucky because both of my bosses, if you call them at the time, Don Mattson, who was my actual boss, and then Mike Lowney, were just like really incredible mentors to me. Mm. Like they had super different approaches to leadership, which was awesome for me to kind of get to know. But they both really like kind of let me do a lot of things, especially for someone really new in their career. So that was awesome because I kind of just, you know, tried a bunch of things and hope that it worked. Yeah, but I mean, I totally had no idea what I was doing. So that was
I know, but we were saying earlier, like, we none of us really totally know what we're doing. We're all trying to figure it out. And
I'll figure it out.
Yeah. And I think that that's just such a beauty of being real about that, authentic, and, you know, on all sides of it. And so we can figure it out together. A little bit less pressure.
Well, I always know, like, I'm never the smartest person in the room, like almost never. And so I feel like, you know, when I get handed something, I will do my best, but I always ask people for either help or feedback or, you know, how I could do something better or what, I don't know, anything about what I'm working on. And it usually is so much better after I talk to someone else because they're always better than one. And I never am the smartest. So.
Well, me too. So I think work ethic and being curious and, you know, and also just being a bit daring, you know, and trying and throwing yourself in there can take you so far. And as it has with you. So let's talk about your evolution to the seat that you have today. And you have to talk about your role before you got to Harley when you were in your intern with the US Senate, because I was, I was looking at your profile preparing for this and I was like, oh my gosh, what, like, that's quite far from being at like in a seat with one of the most iconic brands in the world, you know? And so, So talk us through college, the seat you have today.
Sure. So I grew up in Milwaukee and both my parents were like very involved in government. My mom's a lobbyist and my dad works in the DA's office.
Okay.
So growing up, we were always having like sort of political conversations. My parents like really wanted us to know what was going on in the world. And also they're very involved with community development in Milwaukee specifically. And so we were always like, you know, paying attention to what was going on in our communities. And my parents always encouraged us to learn how to make those better. And so, you know, I really liked that. And I was always interested growing up. And so I went to Marquette University, which both my parents went to as well. And they have the Les Aspin program for government, which is a program where students can go live and work in Washington, DC. So it's a really amazing, amazing program. It's one of the best in the country. And so I knew I wanted to do that, like right off the bat. Even though I was not going into college, like pursuing a political science major, like I was going and pursuing a business marketing major, but I knew I really wanted to do this because DC is one of my favorite places. And so actually in high school, I was a US Senate page as well. So I spent a summer in DC working on the floor of the Senate. As Senate
page. So,
I definitely wanted to go back. I love DC. And so I did that the summer after my freshman year of college.
Okay.
And I worked in a senator's office. You know, you learn so much about, you know, DC is just an amazing place. It's so diverse. Like there's so many people from across the world and across the country. You're just getting such different perspectives. And I think what that experience really helped me with was there are a lot of opinionated people in an environment like that. And you kind of learn to be a better listener versus like always giving your own opinion. And I think that's like been a skill that's really helped me now in the path that I've taken.
But
So that's, I kind of did that government piece of it, but knew I really wanted to be in the more like creative business side of things. So I made my way through college at Marquette. I double majored in marketing and international business. Okay. I studied abroad twice, once in Belgium and once in Madrid, Spain. So got my international fix. It was amazing. And then, my senior year of college, I interned with Harley Davidson. I had a mentor at Harley, Paul Jones. He was at the time, the general counsel at Harley Davidson. And I had reached out to him to be a reference for me. And he said, hey, you know what? We are looking for an intern for our corporate strategy department. Would you be interested in this position? And I was like, oh, for sure. Like, that sounds amazing. Can I come interview? And so I interviewed and I got the internship. And so my senior year, I think just the second semester of my senior year, I spent interning with the corporate strategy team. And then they ended up hiring me on full time to start right after school in that team. So wow. That's kind of how I got to Harley Davidson. And uh-huh. It was really amazing. I'm so like lucky, honestly, most of the time, I think so.
I actually remember you saying that to me when we were talking. You felt so lucky to have your seat, which I just really appreciated at the time, because I came up working in sports and entertainment, and I swear I felt like I literally used to feel so lucky that I could come back to that seat every day. I was like, you know, especially like at such an early stage. And I will say, like, the roles that you've had, you've worked at such an early stage in your career. You've worked at one of the most iconic brands, American brands, right? You worked on the launch of their e-vehicles there, and now this company. And I mean, those are all really big things at this stage of your career. And I think that's big for anybody at any stage of their career. But I'm just curious, like, does it ever register to you? Like, what, you know, how do you feel about that?
It registers all the time, and at random moments, especially in moments of frustration or like thinking that I have no idea what's going on. And I kind of have to have a come back down to earth moment. I'm like, you work for an e-bike company. Like, how cool is that? Let's figure out how to make this work, you know? And I had that all the time at Harley too. You know, I was like, how cool is this? Like, you work for Harley Davidson, an American icon. And it was really an amazing experience. And I feel like, you know, it was weird. Like, I started my career in corporate strategy, which seems like something you do, you know, when you're more involved in your career, but it was really an amazing opportunity. And I'm so lucky and grateful that I had that job to start my career, the mentorship I did, and, you know, it's totally affected where I am now. So.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, I know I said it earlier, but again, like, your ability to jump in and figure things out, your work ethic that I saw working with you directly, I think those are, you know, have been huge for you in helping you along that way. And so, you know, I just think for anybody listening, if you're coming up in your career, I think those are just some things to really think about, and how can you do that every day? And, you know, you also have this way of, when I was working with you, it was like this kind of calm in the face of a storm, you know, and it was, you know, always a positive, like, I'll figure it out type thing. You know, as we were saying earlier, air quotes, one of your bosses, not one of your bosses, but Mike Lowney, like, he was one of the realest people, you know, and leaders. And I love working with him. And, you know, but he was tough, but fair.
For sure. He definitely was. And I just have to say, I mean, it makes it easier for me to be the way I am when I have awesome partners like you guys. Like, you were so great to work with. You made it so much more, you know, not bearable, but like easier for me to try to do this thing that I had never done before. So that was really amazing.
Thank you. But it's kind of funny, because I was going to ask you, like, what do you, at that stage in your career, what did it feel like working with someone like Mike, who was tough, but fair? And do you think that that was part of what has helped you, like, continue your work ethic and continue to, you know what I mean, your journey? And I will say, I've been also called tough, but fair. So it's not something I say as a judgment. I just think it's someone's style.
Oh yeah. Mike is amazing. Like, he is just a great person all around, and was an excellent mentor and boss. He definitely was tough, but fair. He was just really great in a way that I hadn't experienced yet, where he just talked to me like I was his equal versus someone who was, you know, way above me, which was so nice and made me feel so much more confident in the work I was doing, because I really don't know that I could have done that type of work, you know, if I had someone really micromanaging and really like breathing down my neck of like, come on, you need to like do this better. So that for sure helped me, I think. But I mean, I was super nervous when he asked me to help with that. And when I met you guys, I had no idea what I was getting into. I really didn't know what to expect. And I felt like, okay, you know what, if he trusts me to do this, like, I can do it. And when I get stuck, I'm just going to ask someone for help, and and then we'll figure it out, because otherwise we're going to get put in a bad place, and I don't want that either. So, you know, I think it's sort of that team mentality to succeed was really helpful. But yeah, he definitely tough but fair is accurate.
No, I mean, keep doing it. keep doing those things. I think that like those are all, it's such a fantastic mindset to have and approach. So I think that, you know, and it's honestly for anybody listening to this, all of us need to hear that kind of thing and be reminded. It doesn't matter at what stage of your career. I mean, we're all jumping into new and different things and figuring out as we go along. And I think there is this element of like an authentic leader who can just speaks to people around them, no matter what level they are,
yeah,
as an equal, as a collaborator, as a teammate. And I think that that's really where some special, you know, like magic can happen almost.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. So we talked about, Harley Davidson. And I'm curious if, you know, when you were there, it's kind of a male, it's traditionally thought of as a male brand, right? But it's not, I knew that. And you know, the company that you're at now, startups are often thought of as more of a male, kind of ecosystem. Mm-hmm. And then you also have your license to drive a motorcycle. Totally cool and badass, but also often thought of as a male activity, more dominated. And you know, because we all face these gender stereotypes. And I think, you know, I'm just curious, like, what are your thoughts on that? And what have you faced? And or is it, does it not faze you at all? Or what do you think of that?
Oh, you definitely feel, especially in an environment like that, where it is more of a male dominated, you know, industry. Especially when I started at Harley, I did not grow up like some people do with like the big Harley, like love affair. Okay. I didn't really have anyone in my family who is like a big Harley rider. So I didn't really have any of that. I mean, obviously, you know, the brand, like, you know, all about that. And like, you have like a lot of admiration for, you know, 120-year-old company.
Yeah.
Almost 120 at this point. But I really didn't know much about motorcycles or the industry. And so when I got to Harley, my boss Dawn was really awesome. And she and I worked together. I was like, I don't know, you know, what can I do to learn more about this industry? And she was like, well, let's send you to some events. Like, let's have you go, like, go to some dealerships, you know, just like go take a few days to like go figure out like what this is all about and just like kind of gain your own insight without me telling you like what this industry is about. And so that's what I did. I went and worked like a bunch of motorcycle events, which are super interesting and super fun. I've never been to one. It was the best because I met all these people who are customers and like lifelong fans. And, you know, they do fit sort of the stereotypes that you think of when you think of Harley Davidson, but they're also just amazing people and like have such incredible stories. And so I think once you kind of get into that, then you're like, okay, I can relate to this in more ways than you think like right off the bat. And so I did all of that work, but I mean, it still was definitely, I think you kind of have to prove yourself more as a woman. And I feel that way now also in my current role. You know, I'm one of, it's mainly men in my company right now. Yeah. The bicycle industry, I would say, is heavily toward male too. And so I think, especially since I worked with you, you know, I've had a few more years. And so I've learned to be like slightly more assertive in my approach, which I think is a good thing. But you know, I just learned that it's okay for me to speak up when I feel that it's right to. And I think the more I do that, the more comfortable I get and the more seriously my team takes me. And so I think that's just been sort of like growing as an adult too. You know, you kind of just learn to be more assertive when it's necessary versus just taking things when you think they're unfair. So.
Yeah, absolutely. I love that. And thank you so much for sharing that. I think that, you know, when you were saying it, it just made me think of like, you were finding your voice. And I think we all go through an experience of finding our voice. And I will say I found mine later than a lot of people, I think, but, you know, I think we find our voice and sometimes it can be more difficult or kind of, you know, come later if you're in a more, in an industry or surrounded by people where, you know, it is like dominated like that, like with all males, you know, which I can relate to from my coming up. And it is this thing of finding your voice and exercising your voice. And the more you do it, just as you said, you actually start to believe in yourself more. It becomes easier as you do it. And there is a perception shift from other people when they hear you standing in your strength and using your voice. So huge congrats for finding that at this point.
I didn't like, don't think I perfected that at all. But
yeah, we'll continue to evolve. That's the beauty of evolution, though, right? Is that we're all on the path to continuing to, practice it and evolve. And but you're on the journey, and that is awesome. That's awesome. Yeah. So you actually mentioned adulting, right? Well, you said journey of becoming an adult. So the adulting side of things, you've also most recently, not only did you have this newish job, and you also are just moved from Milwaukee to Salt Lake.
Yeah, big move. Yeah, big move. The biggest move ever for me. So I grew up in Milwaukee. I spent most of my life there, went to college there. I mean, I've lived away from home quite a few times, but this was my first real, like, quote, big girl move. So it's been really great. It's so interesting. I was really lucky after school. A lot of my friends and my family were in Milwaukee, so there was less pressure to sort of like put yourself out there and try to meet new people. But now I'm like in a completely opposite situation. So it's been a lot of like friend networking and, just trying to put myself out there with others. And it's been really good. I've met really great people here. And I mean, Salt Lake is amazing for anyone who has been here. I didn't really ever think about Utah or know much about it before, aside from skiing, because I grew up skiing, but I really didn't know much about Utah at all and Salt Lake City. And now being here, it's so active. It's like really growing, it's actually a big tech hub now in Lehi, which is so interesting. There's a ton of startups here. It's just a really awesome place to be. And especially right now where I'm at in my life, I'm really excited to be here.
Oh, that's fantastic. I'm curious, something that I learned firsthand when early in my career, because I moved around for my career, was that I felt, and I'm curious if you feel this way, is like culture in life and work is very different in different parts of the country. And I personally still feel find that. And I'm curious, like what do you see or experience moving like from air quotes real life and work life in Milwaukee to that in Salt Lake City?
It's different for sure. I mean, the biggest difference is probably the alcohol point. I don't know if you want to put that in your podcast. Totally, it's real talk.
Yeah, no, that's so interesting. I didn't know that.
Not in Salt Lake City, really, but outside of that, it's, that's different when you're coming from Milwaukee, which is like, the beer capital of the world. And so, going to meet people, when you're meeting new people here, is sort of, my go-tos would be like coffee or get a drink.
Yeah.
And sometimes that's not what people do here. And so you're just like, oh, okay, like let's go get an ice cream or something instead, or get lunch, that's, which is awesome. Like it's just kind of taking me out of my comfort zone a little bit. I would say like also people just are so much more active here, like you go meet people like for a hike now instead of like just going to grab a drink, which is really cool. And like actually has helped me to get to know people like a lot better in a quicker amount.
That's so interesting.
You kind of see a lot of people when you're like in a, like some hikes are really hard. And so you're kind of learning a lot about people while you're in this situation.
You're trying to keep yourself together while you're like huffing up about. That's
funny. Oh my gosh. I did this hike like when I first moved here with some girls that I had just met. And it was like an 8-mile hike and it was about 2,000 feet of elevation gain. And at one point I told them, I was like, you guys, I just need to stop for a minute. You guys can go ahead. I will catch up to you or I'll see you later. But I need to stop. And they were all like super great. And just in those moments, you kind of have like a little bonding moment. And it's all good. But yeah, that has been interesting.
That's amazing. It's so interesting. Cause I think also like those elements that you just talked about really do translate, especially the world and the landscape we're living in right now. Yeah. It is such this like blurring of things, lines between work and life and everything. And so that's just really interesting. And I love how you're just, again, like kind of jumping and building your wings as you go. It's courageous. And it's, I think these are some of the things that help us so much. Again, you're adding so many tools to your toolbox right now. Yeah, it's definitely. It's fantastic. So before I let you go, I want to ask you two more questions. And one is, is there, we were talking about stereotypes earlier related to gender, but I think sometimes there's also like a lot of stereotypes generationally. And so I'm curious, do you feel that there, you, is there anything that you wish that like the generation or generations ahead of you realize or thought differently about?
I feel like actually things in the workplace are getting like a lot more equal, because I think the older generations, when it comes to like how technology is changing and everything, everyone's kind of learning it all at the same time. And so I feel like there's been like a really good like push toward the middle sort of on working together on those. Okay. I will say, like, for me personally as a young woman, I'm also, you know, I'm a pretty small person. And so people, like, typically when they meet me, they're like, oh, who's this, like, you know, chick? And so I think I have to work a little harder to be like, I'm, you know, I'm a really serious person. I take my job seriously. And, you know, I will work really hard to do what you want. But, you know, you got to trust me a little bit and give me that respect, too, that I'm giving you. I would say that's really the only thing that I usually face, but I have had really good experiences with people of all ages at the companies I've worked for. They've been really amazing. And I've had a lot of opportunity to grow. So
that's awesome. That's fantastic. Yeah. And I will say, I think that, you know, especially I think when someone's younger in their career, they kind of see it as one way, as like the more senior person is being so nice or being so helpful and those kind of things. But I just want to pause for a moment, because I think that the way you operate and how open you are and how you do use your voice and you really listen. And as you've talked today, you've shared a lot about like always wanting to learn. And I think that when someone has that mentality, I think that those are the kind of things that make someone who is more senior just really gravitate toward that person and want to just sort of just do everything to help them grow. And so I think, again, just recognizing, even if for a moment for yourself, like to be proud of the fact that you actually contribute to that, you know, by the way that you operate. Again, it's like this give and take relationship. I think sometimes people think mentoring or, you know, being a boss is one way. And so, you know, again, I've said it probably too many times during this, but I think you're doing so many things that are amazing and really setting your path. So just make sure you recognize that you contribute to that.
Thank you so much. And I'm so lucky again to have like amazing people that I can talk to like you and my bosses. I'm super lucky and grateful that I can work. Amazing inspiration.
That's awesome. So, all right. So I'm going to let you go because I know you have to get back to work, but I do want to know if there's one thing or two things that you want to make sure that people take away from listening today, what would that be?
I think always asking for help and working as a team towards solutions is always the answer. And that's how I kind of live my life. And I think that's a good tip for others as well. People are always going to be there. And so I think if you form good relationships, you know, there will always be people on your side and on your team.
Yeah, that is fantastic. That's a fantastic takeaway. Thank you so much. So have an awesome day. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks everybody for listening.